Blog Talk Radio.
Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar. We're in the beautiful city of Spartanburg, South Carolina, and right now we're up against just quite a force right now that there's been no change in the situation in Spartanburg or in Gaffney or anything else in the state of South Carolina. They have turned all of their, I guess, the sentiments over to this county. The county board is no true response from them. Mr. Britt has been approached in Spartanburg, one of the county board members, and from there we're just doing what we have to do. We're on the road. I'm here with the Black Lightning. I'm here with the chairman of South Carolina, with Brother Kai. Brother Kay is right here with us, Sister Andrea, as well as the Queen Mother. She is our spiritual advisor, and we are working with the family as well as whatever else we have to work with to get some form of a response from the county, some form of a response from the city in Spartanburg to get some remnants of cooperation administratively. We're going to be talking tonight about the circumstances surrounding homelessness in Los Angeles, and we have to ask that pertinent cross-examination question once again. Is the situation at HUD, is that a basis, or is there some promise in HUD, but has it fulfilled itself as a weapon, a weapon in the favor of we the people, and use it as a weapon against homelessness and against urban blight? We have our national Minister of Justice in Los Angeles. We have our National Minister of Defense with us. We have our chairman with us. We have our spiritual advisor with us, as there are many others that are with us. And we must understand comprehensively, we have to take a stronger, hardline position against the goddamn opposition at this hour. And we're here with Black Power Radio, and our staff is here. We're in the city of Spartanburg. Our National Minister of Justice is in the potentially beautiful city with its palm trees and no rain, the city of Angels, or commonly known as Los Angeles, California. But we must form alliances across this nation that will build We the People government. We feel it is the most sensible solution to the problems that are plaguing We the People and the problems that we are confronted with at this hour for Black Power. And we are against all forms of white supremacy. We are against all forms of bigotry, all forms of white nationalism that may lead to bigotry. And we are certainly against old wooden tooth Lindsey Graham with no ham, and another wooden tooth bastard they call him, old messy Jesse James, James Clyburn, who they won't even cross the aisle to bring Mama and them a drink of water. And Mama and them live right across the street. So what makes you think that they are going to cross the aisle to bring some form of a hate crimes investigation on these two major killings of Keisha Tate and the family of Lavelle Lane? For they have executed, they have given them a lifetime sentence without the brother Levain, the son Lavelle Lane. So we are just polarized, if not stuck, on the fact of this open criminal neglect at this hour. And they are against any form of Black Power, any form of Black unity, and any form of Black militarization to protect the Black nation. We are the protectors, ye brothers and sisters, of one another. But they were charged with to safeguard and to protect the Lane family, safeguard and protect the Keisha Tate's family. But they have proven to practice open neglect against We the People. And with that said, we are just happy to be here live again on Black Power Radio. Welcome you all, and I was about to get Brother Tao on, but we're going to log up, lace up, and whatever we got to do. We're right here live in Spartanburg, North Carolina. Let me ask you a question. So all of this said, I'm going to let our Queen Mother just say a few words to our vast listening audience at this moment, and we're thankful, and we want to just bring her and allow her to say a few words. You speak of your lives, and I'm going to bring the rest of it up.
Blessings.
Talk later on, talking about
blessings and greetings to everyone. I made a little bit of accomplishment today. I'm happy about that. We went to the county council meeting. I had it mixed up. I thought it was the city council. And they had some issues with a book that's published in the library about sex. It's a funny word. And it has a lot of explicit information in it, not suitable for children. So they took up the 30 minutes that it was for the public to speak. But we waited till it was all over, and my youngest daughter, she got to speak with the vice president of the county council, and she gave him the information about the bell. So that's a plus, and she gave him her phone number, and he said he would look into it, and he would give her a call. Also, the president of the NAACP was there, and he took our information and got his information, so we supposed to link up. He said he was looking for me, and I've been here all the while. So it wasn't a void. We accomplished something, and that's a blessing, you know. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. That's the best thing I could say. And I'm going to hand it back to Sheikh Akbar.
Okay. Well, we thank the Queen Mother for giving us the updates from what is taking place. And she sees there is some light near the ending of this tunnel. And we are just happy to be there in the supportive role and know that there's so much has been done to us. And there's so much that we have to do, again, as we the people. And we the people must not only overcome what has been done to us, but we must set a pattern for us to be successful, for us to be successful at this hour for Black Power. So much has been done. I will bring our brother Ty Nitty is right here. This is the chairman of South Carolina, and he's going to speak to you a little bit about what's going on. You speak right into the bottom right here. Speaking to the bottom, and then could it be past the black light, and we'll pick it up.
How y'all doing? Black Power, it's good to be here. Let me ask y'all a question real quick. If you go to a club, bar, grocery store, anywhere, and you got somebody with you, and they sit there and let something happen to you, they watch something happen to you, what would you do? Me, personally, I feel like this right here. If we together and you let something happen to me, you might as well jump on me too. Because you initiating me getting jumped on if you with me and you ain't speaking against it or you're not trying to stop it. So at the end of the day, either we together or we ain't together. And that's what I say on a daily basis when I get on here, you know, as far as us being a people, we either in or we out. It ain't no straddling the fence. We got to learn how to treat one another. We got to learn how to treat one another. We're not treating each other like brothers and sisters. You know, treat all the women like you treat your mama. Treat every man like you treat your son, your brother, or your daddy, you know. At the end of the day, I'm saddened and embarrassed. So I always turn on the news or the radio and hear about another one of us that got shot down or beat down or told on or turned out, burned out, whatever the case may be, by their own people, our people, us, people that look just like us. So, that's all I got to say. I'm going to pass it over to Black Lightning.
Oh, Black Power family. Oh, look, no. Black Power family, we are here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, on behalf of Lavelle Lane, and it was already like that. So we're just here to comfort the family and give our support and our moral support and our physical support. And we're here and just giving the people what they need when they need it. And got the South Carolina team down here with us. And North Carolina team, we got our spiritual leader, Mother Beverly, with us and the family. And we're just here doing our part, doing what we can. So we're here, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. With a strong black military to block the call for Black Power. And we're getting stronger day by day, minute by minute. It takes, they say a village, but we believe it takes a nation to raise a network or to raise a family. It takes a nation to raise a well-balanced individual. It takes a nation to honor your honor students instead of honoring them goddamn thugs. It absolutely takes a nation. Yeah, I'm going to change that, inshallah. It does take a nation to do that. And with all of that said, with all of us competing for something, and we must be more competitive in the doing of good towards each other. And in the doing of good towards each other, there's so much that's been a form of criminal neglect, as we were saying. And we're here to revitalize and to bring back that which has been lost amongst us, that which has been stolen. There's a criminal neglect that's obvious, is visible, but then again, there's another form of neglect, a very peculiar form of neglect at this hour that we see in the lives of we the people, and it's a force that's acting on us, and without our open consent, this has been the problem, that these things have been done without our open consent, and we take a strong, hardline position against the goddamn opposition at this hour, simply because they have done this as they have formed a tradition, and we are here to break with that tradition as we move forward for power for we the people, a government for we the people, and everything else necessary to meet the needs of we the people. And so many people have had an opportunity to take liberties with our person. They have taken liberties with our posterior with no ease, with no grease, with no really with no justice in sight for we the people. But we're happy to see you all lighting up the board at this hour for Black Power. And we're going to reach out to our National Minister of Justice, and she's on that west side as we just got our tech going. But we're going to reach out to her and say a few things in favor of we the people at this hour. Thank you for joining us tonight. Dr. Critical Truth Bay is right in the city of Los Angeles, and we're going to talk about the homeless situation. We're going to talk about how and what is this a weapon for social change in the diaspora and across America with the three Ks? We have to include the three Ks. So we are blessed to have our National Minister of Justice, and we want to thank you for joining us. Peace be unto you and power to the people, our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, in Los Angeles, City of the Angels. Peace be unto you.
All right, all right. Power to the people. Power.
We got to give more power to the people. And right on, right on. Got to give more power. Give it again, Ty. Give more power,
power to the people.
We got to give more power to the
power
people.
To the people.
Right on. I don't know if the Queen Mother's online singing. We got to give more power to the people. Right on.
All right. Take that power. Power to the people. Snatch that power.
That's right.
Like power.
That's right. Either we take it or we shake it. Either or, it's our power.
All right.
So we are here on the west side, which is sometimes the best side, but not coming to politicians when it comes to homelessness. So definitely so glad that you are joining us at Black Power Radio. every Sunday and Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, the most informative radio on the planet. So we thank you for joining us this week. And we're going to dabble into election results, but more importantly, we want to highlight what is up with homelessness. What is really the deal? What is the cause, root? Why are we overrepresented in this field next to mass incarceration? What really is the deal with homelessness? Well, in short, homelessness means without a home, right? So that's a given. But why is it so hard for those who are homeless to even get housing? Or why are we even overrepresented in that fashion? So we're just going to look in the perspective of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority in Los Angeles, focusing on the homeless capital of the world, which is Skid Row. And why is it out of control? But before then, we want to do the highlights concerning our elected officials. So we have our mayor-elect. We actually have our new mayor in town, and it is Karen Bass. Right on, right on. So Karen Bass has become literally the first black female mayor of Los Angeles. So this is a historic win, or is it? Dun, dun, dun. We have yet to see. So as you know, Karen Bass, let's bring up a little news clip concerning her win.
Breaking news right now on CBS 2 News at 5 p.m.
Yes, breaking news at 5.
All right. Okay.
Will you do any holiday shopping this year? You really have.
Well, I queue up the video. As you see, there's some issues here.
Breaking news. CBS News
projection. He is in the newsroom live with this historic
news.
Hey, good evening to you, Jeff and Pat. Before I get to the latest information, I just heard from a contact with the Caruso campaign that they are currently working out the details to call Congresswoman Bass to congratulate her on her victory. So in today's latest vote drop, Bass once again increased her lead, a trend that has continued after Election Day as more mail-in and dropped-off ballots were counted. Here is the latest in terms of the numbers. Congresswoman Bass is now leading developer Rick Caruso by more than 46,000 votes, 53% to 47%. Bass's lead yesterday was about 36,000 votes. You can see that increase daily. Bass's campaign tells us the congresswoman was working from her congressional office here in L.A. when an aide told her the race had been called for her. And that is the latest from her office. For a professor of politics, Sarah said one.
All right, so it was a close race, ladies and gentlemen. Los Angeles mayor race. Literally, Caruso was ahead for the last couple of weeks, and then in the last stretch, these mail-in ballots, I tell you, that's what gave Karen Bass her win, 53% to 47. So we do congratulate her because this is a historic win for Los Angeles, but for homelessness, not so much. And that's where we're going to focus on primarily. Now, Karen Bass, just a little history on her before we go on to the issue at hand, which is astronomically the homeless crisis here in L.A. Now, Karen Bass, born and raised in South Los Angeles, she actually was a social worker serving for the U.S. 37th District, Congressional District since 2011. And this district actually covers south and west of downtown L.A., and she was there for 6 years. So transitioning to a smaller house, a smaller position of mayor, we have yet to see, and we will give her opportunities to do the right thing concerning housing and homelessness. That has been some of the major talking points in this campaign. So what is really the solution? We actually have a guest speaker that we're going to bring on from a prestigious homeless nonprofit organization in Los Angeles called Homeless Free America. And so we'll be speaking up with Director Lewis Hollingsworth, who has actually been in homeless outreach for the last couple of years. And so we'll bring him on probably in a few minutes to really shed some light on the homeless crisis in L.A. and what is really happening. Now, I want you guys to really pay attention to L.A. homelessness because LA homelessness is the example of homelessness nationwide. We're just number one in there. So if there's anything that LA wants to boast about, it's not just Hollywood and free dispensaries everywhere. It's really we are the number one in homelessness nationwide. And so with that being said, with the boss being in homelessness, we have a right to speak on what is the issue and how we can fix it. Now, here in Los Angeles, there is an organization called the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. And in every district, this is where we want you to be more in tune with your bureaucracy. Every city has a particular agency that focuses on homelessness. D.C. Has a D.C. chapter concerning homeless funds, a COC fund. South Carolina has their own. Atlanta has their own. So every state has a particular agency that focuses on homelessness. And Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority actually began in 1994 in Los Angeles. It was an argument that the city of L.A. and the county of L.A. blamed each other for the increase of homelessness. And so somebody came up with saying, hey, let's create an agency solely to tackle this major issue. And so they did. And so Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority started out with about maybe 200 employees. These are employees from the suburbs. A lot of them never became homeless themselves. So they actually started out as caseworkers, accountants, different sectors. And they all came together in 94 to create this third power entity. And so as homelessness increased every year, now it's about its 28th year in existence, homelessness has increased 65% in L.A. So what happened? Now Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, that started out with 200 employees in 1994, now has a whopping 800-plus employees. So they actually quadrupled their staff members to 600-plus just to tackle the homeless crisis. But as we see, the years go by, the more staff that they hired, the more homelessness increased. So there was a disconnect there. Something was happening. So what we want to highlight today is the entities that really aggregate the homeless crisis here. And I want you to take the information that we provide to you today and apply it to your own city. Okay, so the first thing I want you to do, if you want to find out what's happening in the homelessness in your city, is to find the homeless agency that is responsible for services, for housing, for mental health, for basic kits, for counseling. Usually an agency is supposed to be a one-stop shop to do that. And so Lhasa here, your girl, had to really dig deep and follow the money. And with that being said, we found that our agency in LA has not only misappropriated $150 million of federal funding that they just sent back or disappeared into thin air, but it's in the tune of $1 billion, over $1 billion that has been wasted and mismanaged. So when people ask why is homelessness so bad in LA, it's in one word, it's bureaucracy. And so that's the bureaucracy that we're going to talk about today. So we're going to bring on our guest later on, but I want to make sure that he's standing by. So we have our Director of Homeless Policy, Dr. Lewis Hollingsworth from Homeless Free America. Mr. Lewis, are you there?
I'm online, Doc.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Power Radio. And we will want to hear firsthand the struggles or the issues as a homeless nonprofit. What issues do you face trying to alleviate the homeless crisis? So we'll be so excited to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Black Power Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. All right. So as we explained, in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority is the main entity that is focused on homeless outreach. Now, before we continue, I want to highlight the director. The director of Lhasa, her name is Heidi Marston, And she actually had to step down. Last year she resigned because she was actually caught trying to increase funding for staff members. And so this is a major issue. When we don't have enough funding, as they always like to say, to provide services for the homeless, for some reason, the federal government, the state, your local city, and your city municipalities, they always seem to have money to hire staff. And so that is one of the reasons why a lot of funding should have been changed in order for services as well. So what is the issue with homelessness, and why is it out of control here in Los Angeles? So for our guest this evening, I would love to bring on our guest of the evening, and this is Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth from Women's Free America. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, I'm here. Let's go. You ready?
Yes, let's get this done. All right, Mr. Lewis, tell us, can you give us an idea of why you went into the homeless sector? Tell us a little bit about Homeless Free America based in Los Angeles.
How Homeless Free America got started, Dr. Food Bay, is I've been homeless before, as I believe you have as well. So we know the stigma that's attached to homelessness and, you know, pitfalls. And what happened is when we started Homeless Free America, our primary focus was on trying to locate homeless students of color who basically were falling behind during the pandemic in the virtual learning platform because they didn't have the computers or the Wi-Fi hotspots to participate academically in the platform. So what happened is I reached out to LA Unified School District and asked them, well, what are you guys doing about trying to identify where these students are and connecting them with what they need to participate academically? And they say, Lou, we would love to connect them with what they need, but we don't know where they are. So what happened is then I thought about it. I said, well, who possibly could help us identify where these students are located? And it came to me, the light bulb, law enforcement. Law enforcement always, during the course of their patrols, always run across families and students in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to LAPD and Los Angeles Sheriff's Department and explained to them what the dilemma was, and they agreed to come on board to help us basically find where these students were living in cars and encampments. And when they ran across these students, they would contact us, and we would contact LA Unified and connect these parents and students with computers and Wi-Fi hotspots that they needed to participate in the virtual learning platform.
Right on. Okay. Moving from students from LAUSD to outreach in the streets, what do you feel is the biggest challenges for nonprofits to actually really clear out and rectify the homeless crisis? We have some feedback in the background. All right, sorry, Mr. Hollingsworth. Go ahead. What is your major challenges that you feel as a homeless nonprofit in order to complete your task and really clean up the street?
Well, it's just been my observation is that, you know, as in any form of politics, this homeless paradigm is no different. If you're not a part of the established good old boys network, you haven't been around for a while. You haven't been through that kind of a political backroom vetting process so they can measure, you know, your degree of corruptness. Then it's very difficult for them to bring you into the loop to fund you, okay?
Right.
And yeah, so what happens is, I heard you mention about what is the root cause of homelessness in Los Angeles and beyond. But I have 3 points that I see is the main cause of what's going on, the proliferation of homelessness here. One is feckless political leadership, or maybe I should say lack of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
The misappropriation of taxpayers' homeless relief dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And institutional racism.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, Mr. Hollingsworth, I would love for you to repeat that for our listening audience, because sometimes you got to repeat things 2-3 times for us to get it. But this is very, very important, what you just mentioned. So please, can you repeat the 3 root causes of homelessness?
Not a problem. Number one is the lack of political leadership. I call it feckless, which is basically useless and weak political leadership. Number two, the misappropriation of taxpayers' homeless relief dollars. And you mentioned that earlier about Lhasa, for one.
Yeah.
And institutional racism. It's no doubt that 80 to 85%, if not higher, of the people that's living on the streets are black.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite evident. I wouldn't care whether you're on Skid Row or whether you're going down Broadway in the inner core of Los Angeles. If you go on the west side, the predominant population that's living on the streets are people of color, black.
That's right.
And so, therefore, you have to understand that that same dynamic that was in slavery days is still alive today. One, these white people who run these funding organizations like the United Way and Lhasa and Topics and all those people, they could care less about us living and dying on the streets. Okay?
Right.
They have no desire to see homelessness dissipate or to be eradicated, because two of the biggest money-generating machines in this city and this county is, one, crime, and homelessness. Okay?
Right.
So it would be illogical and foolish of us to believe that these entities like Lhasa and so on are genuinely concerned about stopping or ending homelessness. It's too much money involved, and it's job security. If there was no crime, would we need the police?
Right. Right.
So do you think the police want you to walk around saying you want to stop crime?
Right.
They don't want crime to cease. Same way with homelessness. They want it to continue to grow. The more it grows, the more it expands, the more money that they can say that they need to line their pockets and the pockets of their friends and their family members.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And we're going to actually listen to a clip to the director of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. As we had mentioned earlier, that this is the only joint power entity that is supposed to actually alleviate homelessness, but it's actually doing the opposite. So
I agree.
Absolutely. So about 6 months ago, we had Heidi Marston resign. So let's listen to a news clip of her resignation, because this is actually major, major a blow to Los Angeles bureaucracy. Okay, let's queue up.
At the top of LA's Homeless Services Authority, and it's causing shockwaves. The executive director says she's leaving because some staffers are paid so little they qualify for homeless services themselves. Sure. Political reporter Tom Wade live with the very latest, Tom.
First of all, I have to pause that for a minute, Luke. You know why we're laughing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, for that statement, I got to rewind that so people can actually hear what the mentality of Lhasa, who receives millions upon millions of dollars to hire their staff. And I tell you again, their staff members have increased quadruple. So therefore, they do have money for hiring staff, but not for the services that are supposed to be provided. So this opening line, which, you know, this newscaster, a lot of these newscasters, they're in bed with this bureaucracy anyway, to keep them looking good in the light to receive federal dollars. But I just had to stop there and really reflect on this opening lines that he said. Okay, so they have problem staff members. Here we go.
Sure, at the top of LA's Homeless Services Authority, and it's causing shockwaves. The executive director says she's leaving because some staffers are paid so little they qualify for homeless services themselves. KCO 9 political reporter Tom Waite live with the very latest. Tom.
Hi, Chris. Well, when you talk to people who are trying to help end the homeless crisis, many of them are very surprised by this resignation, and it couldn't come at a worse time as the homeless crisis continues to worsen and the homeless count, the first one since the pandemic started, is underway.
Homelessness is a humanitarian crisis.
That's Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority Executive Director Heidi Marston back in February as the homeless count resumed after it was paused during the pandemic. Marston suddenly resigned on Monday, saying the staff at LASA, as it's known, are not paid enough. In Marston's resignation letter, she said staff at one time were paid just over $33,000 a year. She says she raised that pay to $50,000 a year, stating LASA employees shouldn't be paid so little that they qualify for homeless services themselves.
I think what Heidi expressed in her resignation memo was really powerful.
Stephanie Klasky-Gamer is with LA Family Housing, an organization that helps people transition out of homelessness and poverty.
There have been many voices, particularly in the past couple of years, that have made it really clear that LASA cannot do what it is sort of charged with doing if not given the authority.
Marston
also. Well, let me stop right there. Now, the lady you just heard was Stephanie Klass. If she actually works for Los Angeles LA Housing Department, and they actually work hand in hand disappearing funds. So she, of course, is going to stand up for Heidi and the misappropriation of funding. One thing that we want to make clear, as Lewis Hollingsworth just mentioned earlier, it really is about the bureaucracy. It's about who you're in bed with. And this is where that road actually has to stop. That's where it has to stop. So let's continue on and hear what Heidi Marston's future lies.
So froze the salaries of LASA's 10 highest paid staffers. LASA released a statement in response to the resignation. It reads in part, "We value the men and women at LASA who are working every day to end homelessness in the city and county."
Yeah.
The staff are at the heart of what we do and who we serve. The resignation also comes just weeks after a scathing report on the homeless crisis was released by a county commission. The commission said LASA doesn't have the authority it needs to act.
They're held responsible to, quote, ending homelessness, yet they are not granted the authority to actually implement policies to execute on ending homelessness.
I don't understand what they're talking about.
I must tell them.
LASA doesn't have the authority. They're called the Los
Angeles
Homeless Services.
You better get your six. Be safe, yeah. Son. Get six. I'm going to eat all 10 of mine. You better get six. Better get your six and win, man. Put it all separate on. I was thinking with 50 cover, or is there a savings? Huh?
Your mic is on.
Okay. Black Power. Hey, it's good. It's good to be here. But you know, on a daily, when we see what's going on, it make it hard to keep that momentum up. But you know what? We here. God put us here. He wouldn't put nothing more on us than we can bear. So I look at that, and I think my God up above for just allowing me to be here, and we're just moving into a different gear right now. We're going to get the momentum up, and this year right here, we're going to get it big. We're going to do it big.
I mean, mute all.
again, we are taking up the case of the homeless and managing with HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, traditionally has been staffed by black men and black women over the years. And it has been to my discovery, and Dr. Critical Truth Bay have gone in on the backside of HUD, and we have $150 million that's been awarded to us that is, I don't know, literally been in exile. It's been moved around out of our account into somebody else's account. And in that $150 million, we will find enough to begin to solve some of the homeless issues, especially in Los Angeles. But when you call the HUD office, it seems to be a difficulty in getting any of our needs met. And we just, are you there, Dr. Critical Truth Bay? See if she's there on that. We're just trying to see what we can do to get her queued back up. But nevertheless, this is a problem at this hour. And we're working to resolve the issue of homelessness and resolve the issue surrounding the Lavelle Lane case, the case of Keisha Tate, and all of those cases in Spartanburg, in Gaffney, and other parts of South Carolina. But nationwide, you know, it's a problem. Again, especially in L.A., they seem to have that question mark out there, the diaspora and across America, because there seemed to be some thing with Los Angeles and the shooting, the disruption, the injury, and the fatal attraction of the black rap community is having issues in Los Angeles. There are several rappers have been gunned down. Kanye West is going nationwide on the opposition, and those people who say they are Semitic, and what is the penalty for saying you are Semitic, but you're really not? Because they're talking about the language, and we're talking about the spirituality of a people. When you say you are anti-Semitic, that means that the black man is against himself. And some of us could very well be anti-Semitic, but then with the Hebrew language, the Aramaic language, the Arabic language, and they say it's an association of languages, and then the dialect thereof. So if we are anti-Semitic, it's extremely difficult for us to be against ourselves. And if we are playing the race card, then we're just playing the cards that are in the deck. We've never been the dealer, so we refuse to deal from the bottom of the deck. We're just playing the hand that we've been dealt, brothers and sisters. So we need to use our wake-up juice against the opposition at this hour, because they are bent on a certain form of enslavement, and we are on a certain form of we the people and black power.
Black power, I'm here, y'all. We sitting here, and we are, I guess, breaking bread, so to say. Excuse me, and as I said, that it wasn't all in vain. You know, we came together after the little county council meeting, and we had to get Wi-Fi, so we here in this wild wave. That's why it sounds so congested. But the message is getting through, and I'm not going to give up, you know, and I appreciate my brothers here standing with me. They traveled a good little way from Washington here to South Carolina just to be with me, and I can't emphasize how much that means. And We accomplished a little something, like I said. You know, we got LaBelle's name out there, and you took names, and they took names, and we took numbers, and they took numbers. So, you know, like I said, it wasn't in vain. And I'm somewhat, say, 85% satisfied of our accomplishments today. We didn't get to speak to the whole room, the whole council meeting, but we got to speak to them after the vice president. So that stood for something. He took our names and our numbers and our information and LaBelle's name. So it's out there. And basically, that's about all I have to say.
But everything is one digit. It's one step at a time. And Sister Andrea was blessed to make the contact with, we believe, the right person associated with the county board, with those associated with county council. And as we break the ice, it's going to be a step-by-step and following the direction of the attorney and others to get some closure in the LaBelle Lane case and getting justice and closure for the family. This is, I think, vitally important. And most of us are distracted because they buy into the fulfillment decoy and they buy into those things, those elements that have been designed in a very peculiar fashion at this hour. They have distracted the majority of us and got them on, got us on their mission. So with that said, we will, I guess, make a critical call to Dr. Critical Truth Bay at this hour to see what is the next move on the city of Los Angeles, the war on the suburbs, and the state of homelessness in America as they look at the challenge of HUD. Can it be a weapon for change or a weapon for social change throughout the diaspora and across America at this hour? So we'll reach out to Dr. Critical Truth Bay. Excuse me. Somebody heal something here.
Listen, I am
revolutionary.
I am a black man, and I'm not a happy.
Well, I just say all the injustices, and we are here to make sure that justice is served, because we are your real Justice Department in the House. The real Black Panther Justice Department is not taking no shorts. We ain't taking no prisoners. We need to go directly to hell or directly back to jail, whatever your choice is. But if you wind up in Sheriff Wrong Right jail, you might wind up dead. So as simple as that. And we're not letting them no good, dirty crackers off the hook either, because in Genesis 3:16 said that Adam's seed and the devil's seed would always be enemies. So they just showing who they are. So when they show who they are, don't be upset with them. Be glad that they showed you who they are. So just saying, be glad that the enemy will show you who he is instead of the person sitting there with you and got the hand on your shoulder, patting you on the back, and got a knife aimed at your back at the same time. All kinfolk ain't just kinfolk, as they say. So I'm just saying, you got to watch who the oppressors are, because sometimes the friend of my enemy is my enemy. And sometimes if you're making friends with the friends of your enemy, you're leaving yourself for a big letdown, they're just going to stab you in the back later. So you got to know who your real comrades are. You got to have discernment. We was talking about discernment. Do you know who the real ones are? Can you look them in the eye and tell me for a fact that you know that they won't rip your head off? And tell me for a fact that you know that they won't give you a dollar to feed you. Tell me for a fact that you know that they're not going to help you in any way, form, or fashion. Or tell me that you know for a fact that you can look at this person and tell, this is the person here that will drive you all the way to South Carolina and back with their money, with their gas. So you got to have some discernment out here. Know who your real comrades are and know who the other ones are. And no more Mr. Nice Guy. Now pull the mask off the old Long Ranger and ain't messing around with Jim, as they say. But once the mask come off the old Long Ranger, it's over with. I ain't going to give you no more silver bullets. We're going to send the silver bullets flying. So I'm just saying, no discernment. You got to say enough is enough of these people that's trying to sneak up in my camp and trying to figure out who I am, because they don't never going to know who we are, but we are the people. We are the vanguard. We the people that you call on. We the ones. I'll just say it like that. We are the ones. And like the Highlander say, there can only be one. And I want to say in with Adam Clayton Powell, when Adam Clayton Powell went to the president of the United States and say, you want the black vote? Oh, you can get the black vote. We'll campaign for you and everything. But if you want our vote, this is what we want. We the people. What we the people want. So don't think that we have given up on doing it that way, not by any form or fashion, and by, not by any means necessary. We have not stopped. The train of revolution there, revolution is still on the track, hot and smoking. So I'm just saying, have some discernment. You should be able to look your comrade in the eye and say, this person will give me shirt off their back, or this person will stab me in the back. Which one is it? Which one are you? Black power. Black power. Black power. Which one are you? Black power. I am a black revolutionary. I am a black revolutionary. I am a black revolutionary. And I'm not a happy slave. Back to you, Akbar.
We're just so happy that we were able to plug Black into Dr. Critical Truth Bay is with us again. Let's see. So are you planning to plug back into the switchboard, Dr. Critical Bay?
Lewis? Yeah, so Lewis Hollingsworth, we're going to run up this shut over. Am I on the air now?
Well, you're actually on the air through my telephone. You're on the air, but we'd like you to call back in through the switchboard so we can cue you up and down. But you got to, that's the thing, you got to push one when you cue in. You lost your connection.
Okay, so we're going to have to, I'm going to connect back on.
You call back in, and then you can continue.
Okay.
That's what.
All right.
I know, but definitely not on your.
You can hear her because she's on the radio. Dr. Bev is on the radio.
And so is Dr. Kinsella. She can hear her.
Sure. So again, we are working with the situation, the City of the Angels, war on the suburbs, and the state of homelessness in America, and the diaspora, meaning all of those places outside of Africa that we have found ourselves in. And if it's very uncertain, unfortunate set of circumstances, if you have happened to find yourself to be homeless at this hour, we hope that you're working for Black Power, and we are raising the consciousness of the Black nation, raising the consciousness of we the people, and we're fighting the opposition at every turn in the road, and we will shut them down and do what we have to do to raise the nation of people. The Honorable Dr. Maya Angelou has said to us that truth, once it is crushed to the earth, it will rise again. And then again, still I rise. This is the teaching of Maya Angelou. It's still I rise. And we know that so much has been done to us. Oh, I'm just here to share with you that no other people have reached such a level of disdain, a level of mistrust, and we have been misused and abused, have been open criminal neglect against the black man, the black woman, and far too many of our children have been abused, neglected, and they have been tortured and executed at will from Emmett Till to Lavelle Lane. So many things have been done to us. It is indescribable, and it is an insult to our humanity, and therefore we have no choice but to rise up against the opposition who would foster an environment to do such an atrocity to we the people. And so therefore we are strong and we are focused, and we got us some Dr. Critical Truth Bay right on here to further explain the circumstances surrounding the City of Angels, the war in the suburbs, and the state of homelessness in Los Angeles, in the diaspora, and in our part of the region of this world. So thank you again for plugging back in, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, and you can continue. And please press 1, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, so you will stay in the queue at this hour. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum and power to we the people. You press 1 twice. You got to press it one more time where I can see you, Dr. Critical Truth Bay. Please press 1 once again. Yeah, one more time. Do you want to talk?
Yeah, press
843. Yes, did you press 1 again, please? Something is missing. I could see you press 1 once, but then I think you pressed it again. Okay, you can try it. Let's see if we can try it again. And you're there with us, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, our National Minister of Justice, is moving.
Yes, can you hear me?
On the streets of L.A. We can hear you loud and clear. Go right ahead.
All right, power to the people. Okay, so we are discussing the issues concerning homelessness and housing in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, there's about 100,000 people who are homeless on any given night right here in Los Angeles. It's astronomically ridiculous. And so we were talking about the root causes of homelessness, what exactly is happening as to why homelessness is such a major catastrophe here in the state of California, more so in Los Angeles and Sacramento too. They're actually almost beating LA when it comes to homelessness. But before then, we want to give a highlight of Karen Bass, who actually is our new mayor for Los Angeles. She has beaten Rick Caruso, and the final result came in last week. So as the first woman mayor, black mayor in Los Angeles, it's historic for us. But at the same time, Karen Bass was on the congressional level, the 37th district here in California, and yet homelessness was still a major issue. So what do we have to look for as Karen Bass being mayor? We'll find out. So here's a highlight of the win.
Calling another major race for the mayor of Los Angeles. NBC News can now project that Congresswoman Karen Bass will win. About 76% of the votes are in, and she ran against real estate developer Rick Caruso. They both ran as Democrats, but only the Congresswoman had her party's backing. Mr. Caruso had the backing of fellow billionaire Elon Musk. Now, technically, the mayor of LA, to be clear, is a nonpartisan office. Karen Bass would become the first woman to hold that office. She spent nearly a decade as a Democratic congresswoman for California's 37th district, that's southwest of downtown L.A. Her endorsements included former President Obama, Vice President Kamala Harris, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Senator Bernie Sanders.
And so these are the key players of election. I wouldn't say election fraud, but hey, if they want to win something, they're going to win. That's all I got to say. But here we are. We finally have results of LA mayor race, which was last week.
and Karen Bass is the mayor. So what I'm looking towards as Karen Bass as mayor is to have her actually solve or at least create a dent in the homeless crisis as she has promised throughout her whole campaign. And so one of the major steps that she wanted to tackle, of course, was homelessness. Homelessness has always been a major topic issue when it comes to what these candidates are promising to do. And so here we go. Let's see if we can find one of, we'll see if we can find one of her clips where she's discussing on the results, the resources that she plans to have as mayor. And this is something that we really are on edge about. We want to see exactly what can be done when it comes to bureaucracy and how we can absolve this homeless crisis. Now, one of the main key factors is that nonprofits are the ones that really work towards alleviate the crisis on the ground floor. But nonprofits are supposed to be funded in order to have that, and that's what's not happening. The money is circulated, the housing, the homeless funding is circulated throughout the bureaucracy. Millions of dollars are lost here, certain million dollars here, some are sent back. And we'll discuss more in detail the data on how that has happened. So here's a clip of Mayor when Karen Bass was talking about what she'll do for us as mayor. Let's take a listen.
And it's time for urgency. Karen Bass makes history as the first woman elected mayor of Los Angeles, and tonight she outlines her vision for the future of the nation's second largest city. Bass is calling for unity as she works to combat homelessness, the affordable housing crisis, and crime.
The mayor-elect says she is also seeking to restore faith in city government, which has been rocked by scandal. KTLA's John Finoglio joins us live with more. John? And she reiterated that her first order of business will be to tackle the city's homelessness crisis.
We have to move L.A. in a new direction.
Congresswoman Karen Bass will have her work cut out for her when she assumes her new role as mayor in just 3 weeks.
And so to the people of Los Angeles, my message is we are going to solve homelessness. We are going to prevent and respond urgently to crime. And Los Angeles will no longer be unaffordable for working families.
She becomes the first woman and second black person to lead Los Angeles. She was projected the election winner yesterday. Speaking in Mid-City, the mayor-elect acknowledging it wasn't an easy contest against developer Rick Caruso.
I know that he will continue his civic participation in the city that we both love. I have always admired his lifelong commitment to the people of Los Angeles, and I look forward to working together with him.
She's also vowing to root out corruption in City Hall.
There are no quick fixes legally. There is no...
All right. That's Jessica Levitt, political analyst, I'm speaking. So it sounds promising. Well, I'm vowing to solve homelessness. I'm vowing to stop corruption. That sounds great talking points. So later on in the show, we actually have a special guest from a premier homeless organization called Homeless Free America. We have our special guest, Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth from Homeless Free America. Thank you for coming on Black Power Radio.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So can you tell us, Mr. Hollingsworth, what exactly has been the number one issue for nonprofits, or what is your take on why homelessness is so out of control in Los Angeles?
Well, the first part of that question, let me address it if I may. The reason that nonprofits such as yours and mine, who really are genuinely concerned about our people's plight of being homeless and have a passion to really help, the way that this homeless funding paradigm is set up in Los Angeles is unless you're a part of what I call that old good boys network, right?
Right.
You know, like the LASA and the Hopics and the PATS and so on, so on, people assisting the homeless. Unless you're a part of that inner circle, then they have gatekeepers in position that keep nonprofits like yours and I out of the loop of mm-hmm. being funded. So therefore, those who really can make an impact and really have a desire to see change, we get stunted because you are not a part of that corrupt inside circle of people who are in power, who have control of the taxpayers' purse strings to be able to enrich themselves and their friends and their families. So,
yeah.
That's the problem that I face, that and you face as well, is that we're not a part of that Good Old Boys Network, and we will not compromise our integrity and our morals and sell our people out for 30 pieces of silver.
That's right. That's right. So very well said. So right here in Los Angeles, every city has a homeless authority, and I want you Black family to please identify that organization in your city. Every city has one, especially major cities. They have something called COC recipient or COC funding, which stands for continuum of care. And anytime you hear that term, continuum of care, it literally means homeless dollars, whether it's in services, whether it's in data, whether it's in a homeless count, anything that has to do with homeless, it falls under a federal guideline called COC. So who puts these guidelines on? It literally is the Housing and Urban Development. This is where every homeless organization follows the guidelines of HUD. HUD have been the gatekeepers for at least 60 years when it comes to developing low-income housing, creating projects in neighborhoods, affordable housing, shelters, funding shelters, all of that falls under Housing and Urban Development. And before we had Ben Carson as the secretary, he was the 17th secretary of HUD, and currently we have Marsha L. Fudge. So we'll go into HUD and what their functions are, but before, let's focus on Los Angeles's bureaucracy on how they so-called want to solve homelessness. Now, in Los Angeles, an entity called the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, which started in 1994, started out as a argument that the city of L.A. and the county of Los Angeles were blaming each other for the homeless crisis. Now, the bureaucracy of the L.A. county, it is made up of 5 board of supervisors. That's right, not 15, 5. So there's 5 people that is over at least 10 million people, which is the amount of people in Los Angeles County, which is, you know, ridiculous in itself, but it is what it is. It is one of the largest counties in the nation. And to have only 5 people over it for decades has been part of the reason why a lot of county issues have been transpiring. So not only homelessness, but you have incarceration and foster care that falls under the county as well. So between these 3 entities, homelessness, incarceration, and foster care, that is where the county makes billions upon billions of dollars every year on the backs of Black people. That is how their county, and no county is different. Every county has a similar function because it all falls into the same bureaucracy on a federal level. One of the things that we want to tackle here in L.A. County is to have more elected officials in a position where they can go over at least, you know, 1 million people. They'll be able to help faster. They'll be able to aggregate better if they had a number more elected officials on that level. Now, when we come down to L.A. City, L.A. City is the largest city in L.A. County. And so that city in itself, as we heard not too long ago, the corruption there, is 15 elected officials. That's over 4 million people. And that's how many people in L.A. City is, about 4 million. So between the county and the city, we have only 20 direct elected officials that are supposed to streamline funding such as homelessness to nonprofits. But instead, what they do, they have created this whole entity called LASA, and they have them focus on the housing, everything. When it comes to homeless resources, they leave it up to LASA. Now, LASA, unfortunately, since 1994, they started out with about 200 employees. And so now, 28 years later, they actually have close to over 800 employees. So their staffing has quadrupled in the last decades. Instead of reducing the staff, they've increased the staff, and along with their increase of staff, the homelessness has exploded. So we already can see, actually Stevie Wonder can see that this system is not working. And so with that being said, what are we doing to combat it? So we don't have anything really in place because not a lot of us are following the money. When you follow the money, then you come up with answers as to, okay, now I see why this neighborhood is like this, because the funding is not there. But if we don't allow, if we don't poke the belly of the beast sometimes, get out there and really find out where the funding is going, then we are constantly receiving the short end of the stick. So we're going to go see if we can get a clip of the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, which was directed by Heidi Marston. Heidi Marston recently resigned because the funding that was received through LASA was actually being used to hire or increase more staff. So let's hear a clip of her resignation about 6 months ago.
At the top of LA's Homeless Services Authority, and it's causing shockwaves. The executive director says she's leaving because some staffers are paid so little they qualify for homeless services themselves. KCO 9 political reporter Tom Waite live with the very latest. Tom.
Hi, Chris. Well, when you talk to people who are trying to help end the homeless crisis, many of them are very surprised by this resignation, and it couldn't come at a worse time as the homeless crisis continues to worsen, and the homeless count, the first one since the pandemic started, is underway.
Homelessness is a humanitarian crisis.
That's Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority Executive Director Heidi Marston back in February as the homeless count resumed after it was paused during the pandemic. Marston suddenly resigned on Monday, saying the staff at LASA, as it's known, are not paid enough. In Marston's resignation letter, she said staff at one time were paid just over $33,000 a year. She says she raised that pay to $50,000 a year, stating LASA employees shouldn't be paid so little that they qualify for homeless services themselves.
I think that what Heidi in her resignation memo was
Now, at this point, Heidi Marston, who has stepped down, has left a void, but the answer is clear, that she was focused more on increasing the staff at LASA than increasing the pay, and they receive a lot of funding. They receive a lot of private funding. Conrad Hilton is one of the premier donors for LASA. They donate, the Hilton Foundation donates millions of dollars to them every year. And every year they use it to increase their staff pay. So the fact that Heidi stated that she resigned because the pay for her staff was not being respected, in actuality, I'm going to talk personal, because Heidi Marston was, before she was the director, she was the chief program officer, vice director for LASA, in which I have to personally work with her to try to receive resources for organizations and for families, especially in South LA and Skid Row. And Heidi specifically made sure that organizations like mine, like others, especially that are black ran, that they received no equity or any spot at the table for any COC funding. So her resignation was bittersweet. It was inevitable. The systematic racism that they like to portray and they like to state all the time, they keep forgetting that they're the ones that actually engage in systematic racism. But they like to say, well, homelessness is disproportionately affecting black people because there is systematic racism in the system. But yet they work for this very same system, so it's not making sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make dollars. So today we have a very special guest from Homeless Free America, a very prestigious nonprofit in Los Angeles that is working actively on the ground floor to alleviate the homeless crisis. We have Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth joined with us. Thank you again for joining us, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you for having me on, Doc.
All right. And so we were discussing the issues on why the homeless crisis is so bad in L.A. Now, LASA is the entity for Los Angeles, and we're going to go into HUD. HUD, why is HUD so important? HUD is the key, is a federal agency, Housing and Urban Development, in which organizations, agencies like LASA's, whose guidelines they have to follow. So each homeless authority in any city and anywhere USA, they have to follow HUD guidelines. So they are the ones that lay down the groundwork. They tell cities how to operate, how to move the dollars that they're giving specifically for homeless and affordable housing. And nine times out of ten, without oversight, it is always going to go the wrong way. So HUD officers used to be Ben Carson. He was a brain surgeon, and he was chosen to become HUD secretary at the time of Trump. Now, Joe Biden decided to elect Marsha Fudge for secretary of HUD. She's the 18th secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And throughout her career, Secretary Fudge, she worked with low-income families, seniors, and communities across the country. Fudge also served as a U.S. rep, and she was also a member of the Congressional Black Caucus. And we have mentioned before the wonderful work, the wonderful resources that the Congressional Black Caucus has given to black families since the 70s. What's your take on housing and urban development and the Congressional Black Caucus, Mr. Hollingsworth?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, Dr. Toothpay, I'm not too familiar with the mechanics or any workings of HUD, but what I know from my research about the Black Congressional Caucus, if one would research that organization, you will find that they have a nonprofit organization under their banner. And this nonprofit organization that's under, or basically an arm of the Black Congressional Caucus, during the financial meltdown in 2008, when the housing market tanked and all of those black families were losing their homes in foreclosure, when you dig deep down that rabbit hole, you'll find out that the Black Congressional Caucus, through their nonprofit, was the ones that were basically pushing black families to take those low, those are ARM loans, those adjustable rate mortgage loans.
Right.
Which so many people to lose their homes. And your research will find that during that debacle, when all these black families were losing their homes, you didn't hear a peep from any one member of the Black Congressional Caucus about that. Why? Because the primary lender, the pariah that was taking all of these black people's homes, was Countrywide, which was later taken up and purchased by Bank of America. But Ray Mozilla, who was the president of Countrywide, was funneling millions of dollars to the Black Congressional Caucus's nonprofit.
Oh, wow.
So I care not anything about the Black Congressional Caucus or their nonprofit.
Absolutely not. And, man, that's a gem that you just dropped there. So inevitably, we have corruption on all facets, on all levels of government, where there absolutely is no breathing room for those who really want to do the right thing, for nonprofits who just want to serve their community. So there is a strategic planning of destruction in that fashion that we must identify and execute.
Well, and that's a good point that you bring up, because you stated early on that we as a people need to follow the money.
That's right.
Okay. However, that's easier said than done, Doc, because unless we acclimate ourselves,
right,
to how to engage government, right, to make it work efficacious for us, we don't even know where to begin to follow the money. We don't even know the first step to doing that, right?
Right.
So, and I like to quote a scripture in the Bible that says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge.
Right.
And that's a true thing. So until we as a people begin to turn off Instagram and stop looking at TikTok and start opening up some of these law books and getting on the Internet and researching these different laws, financial laws, political laws, and how government works, you know, we will never be able to dig ourselves out of this rabbit hole and be able to follow the money or be able to have government work for us. So the first step that we have to take is to basically arm ourselves with knowledge of the law and how government works.
Very well said. Absolutely. And doesn't matter what sector that you want to work in, definitely knowing about the law is going to be so beneficial, because a lot of these cats that's in position don't know the law themselves. Not even law enforcement know all the laws themselves, but they're in a position engaging or enforcing or creating our legislation when we the people have the ability to do so. So I do thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, and let me just add, and then I'll turn the mic back over to you guys. But see, it's one thing for us to curse the darkness and bellyache and grab a microphone or a placard and wave it in front of the white folks and the government and say, hey, you're doing us wrong. We're not going to stand for that. Well, they know that they're doing us wrong. You know,
right.
They know that. But here's the difference. When you know the law, when not only can you say that you are doing us wrong, but you can point to a specific statute, code, or law that shows them where they're doing you wrong at by breaking the law. Once you apprise them and put them on notice, this is what you are doing to violate my rights and to violate this, that, and the other, then they have an imperative now to grant you relief. Because now if they don't, they become a lawbreaker.
And now
you can have them either removed from office or locked up in jail. So until we know the law where we can point to them specifically in the law where they're violating our rights and doing wrong, we can holler and scream all we want till we fall out and turn blue in the face that you're doing us wrong. It won't do us any good. We'll be in the same position we're in now 100 years from now.
That's right. That's right. So you have to face them with the laws that are enacted and throw it back at them, basically.
Of course. It's the only way.
Once you
put them on notice and show them in the law.
Right.
Everything you know that starts with notice. Before you can file a lawsuit in the court of law, you have to first notice, see, I'm talking about the defendant, as to where he went wrong and give them a chance to rectify that before you initiate legal action in the court of law. And it's the same across the board. Once you let these politicians like Heidi Marston at Lobster or Ms. Fudge at HUD, once you see that, hey, we deserve this, the law states that we should have gotten this much money, the law states this, and you put them on notice that they didn't follow the law, now they become a lawbreaker. Now, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, oh, they're on to us. The jig is up. They just put it out. Yeah, give them what they want. Give them what the law say they deserve.
That's right. And that is exactly the steps that we're taking here in Los Angeles, in which we want every city to duplicate the same steps that we're taking here. The first thing you must identify, who is the homeless authority in your area? And this is going to ring true for probation department Every mm-hmm. state has a main probation department, and every state has a headquarters for Department of Children and Family Services, where mm-hmm. many poor, low-income families are criminalized and their children are snatched into the system for more federal dollars. And so this all goes down to knowing the law. So, for example, 1994 crime bill, that affects majority of our family or people, black folks, who are criminalized for misdemeanors such as marijuana or anything. They're still receiving years of jail time for it, whereas they made marijuana legal. So that's
and
one
you,
aspect.
I'm sorry, Doc. And you know who? And you know who basically Kim talking about puts that bill forward? It's the white gentleman that so many black people love and swoon behind. You know who that was, right? Who put that omnibus crime bill that you talked about?
Good old Sleepy Joe.
Joe
Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They work and conspired the crime bill, and the Clintons authored the Affordable Safe Families Act. And so this is also 1994, and this Affordable Safe Families Act specifically tells foster care systems that you have tained a child for at least 15 months before you get a federal dime. So you have all of these local jurisdictions initiating cases on families where there really wasn't signs of abuse. They just draft up this paperwork and they say, well, you have failed to protect your child. That's their title, failure to protect. And
it's the same as the black slave code. But like I'm saying, because our people are so ignorant and dumb and won't research and read and study, they love Bill and Hillary Clinton. They think that they're gods on earth.
Absolutely.
And they're the worst thing that ever happened to our people.
Right, right. And Joe right now, as president, how he got there, he told us to our face that he can't stand us, that we are a threat, that we are beneath him. And what do? We say, hey, can you be our president?
Yeah. And you want to know why we're behind the eight ball? There you go.
Right on. So we're going to take a quick musical break because I'm feeling some inner city blues here. And Marvin Gaye wants to come and tell us a story. And then we're going to head back and open the can of worms concerning the real reason for homelessness, Lhasa, and corruption right here in the City of Angels. So thank you for joining Power Radio. We are glad you are with us.
Thank you.
Make me want to holler. Man, these homeless crises, these disparities just make somebody want to holler. So I want to say thank you so much for joining us on Power Radio, where we are going to open the can of worms on the real reason for homelessness and what is happening, how we can rectify it right here in Los Angeles. So we are going to go to a clip. We are explaining to you what the hierarchy in Los Angeles here. We have our very special guest with us from a prestigious homeless nonprofit organization, Homeless Free America, Mr. Lewis Hollingsworth. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Hollingsworth.
Once again, thanks for having me, Dr. Kingsbury.
All right. So we discussed a little bit about who is the agency for Los Angeles. It's called the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. And so we're going to look into some of their benefits. In 1994, they started by L.A. City and L.A. County, specifically to combat the homeless crisis. So 800 staff members later and millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars misappropriated, disappeared up in the air. Homelessness has now reached a FEMA state of emergency response, in which I will be reading later on in the last hour of this state of emergency homeless response that Mr. Hollingsworth had implemented specifically to set a stop to the homeless corruption, is declaring a FEMA emergency. And it will have him explain to us exactly what that means. In the meantime, let's go to one of the clips in where Lhasa, in their many, many atrociousness, was caught throwing away food. Food, Black family. It's bad enough we don't have enough services or funding to go to help the homeless, but food is thrown out on a daily basis from this organization. Why is it still in power? We already told you. Corruption wins until we all come together and create our own institution. So let's hear what happened.
Investigation on food for the homeless being thrown in the trash is raising even more eyebrows tonight. Now the L.A. City Controller is chiming in. Investigative reporter David Goldstein is here with more of this update case.
Yes, he conducted an audit of Lhasa, this agency, about 3 years ago, so he knows the ins and outs a little bit. L.A. City Controller Ron Galperin watched our investigation of food for the homeless being trashed by outreach workers. He says he believes it's the product of an agency that now needs to be fixed.
I don't know that there's much of a greater sin, as it were, than throwing good food away, especially when people are hungry.
Our investigation found cases of food for the homeless trashed. We caught workers with the L.A. Homeless Services Authority, known as Lhasa, a public agency, throwing away the county-funded food day after day, week after week, right in the dumpster. L.A. City Councilor Ron Galperin watched our investigation.
It's outrageous, it's insulting, it is disturbing, and unfortunately, it's not that horribly surprising.
That's because Galperin conducted this scathing audit of Lhasa in 2019, finding that outreach workers failed to meet goals.
those are the same classification of workers who we caught trashing food, as well as spending their days taking a walk in the park, going to Target, Starbucks, McDonald's, and driving around for hours and hours, passing dozens of homeless along the way.
They're throwing the food out of
the door. Wow, they need to go to jail.
In a written statement, Lhasa says they throw the food out because it's perishable. But many have criticized that process, saying the food should instead be donated.
I was outraged when I saw your names.
City Attorney Mike Feuer also wrote this letter to Lhasa in response to our investigation, demanding to know why the food is being trashed. Galperin, who's now running for state controller, says there have been improvements since his audit.
It's still a very broken entity, and it's got to be really reconstituted or fixed.
But as our investigation found, not enough. Well, LA County has already started discussions to break away from Lhasa, form its own agency for the homeless. Lhasa has from the start refused to provide anyone for an on-camera interview to answer any of our questions.
I wonder why. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is one out of many, many offenses that this agency that is created by the county and the city that is continually doing. Now, this story, Black Family, was about almost a year ago. Almost a year ago. And a year later, the county has not broke away from Lhasa. As a matter of fact, they embrace them more. They actually covering up their atrocities. They're hoping that the people forget instances like this of throwing away food and then misappropriating funding. And this is why I say, Black Family, the bureaucracy is out of control. So what do you say, Mr. Hollingsworth? How do you hear? How do you feel hearing something like this is occurring with Lhasa?
Well, before we even shine the light on Lhasa, let's go back and let me say that Mr. Ron Galpin, the city controller for the city of L.A., he's kind of like the pot calling the skillet black. How dare he accuse Lhasa of corruption and waste when he oversees the city's budget and he had nothing to say about the city of Los Angeles paying $50,000 for a 64-square-foot pallet shelter house to house the homeless that only costs $4,000.
Right. Right. Rob,
so when I found this out and I contacted this office and want to know, like, you know, how can you justify allowing the city to spend $50,000 of the taxpayers' dollars for a house that costs only $4,000?
Right.
And let me transfer you to somebody else line with dead. I ain't heard nothing back from Mr. Galperin's office.
Right. That's it. And Ron Galperin is definitely the pot calling the kettle black. I can remember in 2016, I made an appointment specifically to speak on a huge lot on Slauson and Crocker. It's by the Brotherhood Crusade. And
I was talking about that 7-acre lot right there.
There you go. And guess who they gave it to?
Yeah, they gave it to the freeway corridor or somebody. But they say that Danny Bakewell got it now.
That's right. That's who he is. Ding, 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 ding. We gotta get a clap and sound effect because that is absolutely correct. Yes. Mr. Danny Bakewell. And if we know about Danny Bakewell, he is probably one of the men that's building his wealth in bed also with these politicians. And he owns a local newspaper, Los Angeles Sentinel. And this is the property where we requested from Raul Galperin to actually create affordable housing units since 2016. Okay, so 6 years later, all of a sudden, Marquise Harris Dawson and Danny Bakewell, amidst all this scandal, decided to hand over that property to Danny Bakewell. Now, let me explain something to you, Black Family. Anytime a politician gives an organization land, nonprofit organization land, or for-profit, whoever it would be, they have to do something called a public hearing. they have to have a public hearing, meaning that this property is going to be given to whoever bids for it, but the public must know about it. There was no posting on when this property was going to go in public hearing. I certainly would have been there since we requested through Galperin to build housing on it to begin with. But all of a sudden, amidst scandal, because these politicians feel that nobody's paying attention, that we can slip to our buddies and our people that we rock with, that we can give them land without any accountability. So this is why I say, Black family, find out the empty properties in your city. Find out who owns it, because 9 times out of 10, the people who own these lands who've been sitting there never were supposed to receive it to begin with. And this is how we can hold them accountable. We must be consistent when it comes to that. What is your aspect, Mr. Hollingsworth, on the future of homeless outreach? What is your vision, and how do you see LA changing in homeless outreach and engagement? Or do you have any hope, or do you feel that it will be a positive outlook in the end?
There's only one way to cure these ills, not just in Los Angeles, but and beyond across the nation. Let me say this first of all. According to a report from LASA, your buddies over there, Los Angeles Homeless Service Authority, they say every day more than 200 people fall into homelessness across the county of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. Mm-hmm. I'm not that good at math, but that's like about $6,000 people a month, 200 times 30. Am I correct?
Right, absolutely.
They can't build sustainable, affordable housing at that pace to absorb that type of uptick, first of all. So there's only one way that we can solve this problem. Is, first of all, we have to declare a public health and safety emergency.
That's right.
That's the first thing that has to happen. Once that happens, now you can evoke the what's called the California Emergency Services Act. That then will marshal in all of the resources of the federal government, including the military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to bring the military in, and then we need to then have our people that's in the street relocated to some of these closed military bases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they have these closed military bases all across the country in every state. Okay,
right.
So we as the people need to identify those bases that are closed. Because under the Federal Defense Base Closure and Realignment Act, and here specifically in California, there's another act called the California Surplus Land Act, which is a supplement to this Federal Defense Base Closure Act, that mm-hmm. now states that any closed military base, first and foremost, before it's sold or leased to any organization or developer, it has to be made available to nonprofits that house the homeless.
That's right. And I pulled up the California Surplus Land Act, and it states cities and counties, transit agencies, and other local agencies sell or lease their land. They must prioritize it for affordable housing development. Absolutely.
There you go. And then, like I'm saying, the Federal Defense Base Closure and Realignment Act even makes it more specific that the first priority to those closed bases must go to nonprofits to house the homeless.
That's
how many
right.
of us knew about that?
Not many.
So, like you say, then we need to acclimate ourselves to the law. We need to get some powerful, hard-hitting attorneys that's got a high profile. We can even take your boy Ben Crump. Have him spearhead, because he's going to get the media, have him spearhead this effort to have nonprofits like us that's ran by blacks to house our people on these military bases and staff these military bases with all of the gap intervention services, mental health services, and all these other continuum of care services that's staffed by our people.
That's okay? Right. That's
yeah.
Right.
And if we can do it, we can clean up homelessness in California and across this country in 60 days. You wouldn't see a black homeless child, man or woman, on the streets.
Right on. And that's
the only way.
Right. Right on. So I'm going to queue. I went to a city council in LB. We're not going to divulge too much on that,
okay.
But
okay.
We are definitely on the point with declaring a state of emergency. And so when I attended the city council November 15th, this was last week, I actually read a statement in front of the council, and I'm going to read that statement to you now. This is an actual live state of emergency statement that we declared for the city of the county of Los Angeles, particularly the state of California. And so here we go. All right, so on November 15th, 2022, Homeless Free America under the Federal Health Commission attended the city council to declare a state of emergency on homelessness. Meanwhile, brainstorming continues on December long. Long Beach officials is in order. Oh, let me pull this up. A state of emergency is requested to be declared in the county of Los Angeles in December 2022. The state of emergency request has been declared due to the impending increase of homelessness causing infectious diseases from the growing encampments and transients. This situation threatens public safety. In conjunction with California Emergency Services Act, establishes statewide emergency standards that put in peril life, poverty, and the resources of California citizens. In July 2016, a $1.2 billion bond called Measure H, Triple H, passed in 2016 to build 10,000 units of permanent housing, and that has never happened. In March 2017, LA County's Measure H has spent $1.8 billion by increasing sales tax of LA County constituents only to have homelessness increase by 65%. In July 2021, an order from federal judge David O. Carter, and we actually did have a federal judge that forced the mayor to house the homeless in Skid Row by October 2021, and as we see now, that has never happened. And recently, September 25th, 2022, LA Times, along with your girl, Minister of Justice here, Jude Ray, completed a 60-day investigation concerning the $150 million homeless fund from HUD that was returned by LASA, the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority. Instead of supporting homeless services in LA County, this money was returned and confirmed returned by HUD Secretaries Erica D. Starks and Imani Edwards from Housing and Urban Development Contracts Department. And if anyone wants to know HUD's main address in D.C., it is 451 7th Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20410. And their telephone number, if you like to call them and ask them, hey, what's going on with the HUD funding for black families? You are free to do so. That number is 202-557-8905. Again, 202-557-8905. And you will not find this number on the HUD website. You will find it exclusively on Black Power Radio because we got the data, my friends, and this data is only as good as you use it. So as we finish with the statement of the state of emergency, as homeless service providers, we exercise the authority given under Section 8571, which is the California Act, the California Emergency Services Act. state executive law to preserve public safety and hereby render all required and available assistance vital to security, well-being, and the health of citizens in the state of California. We hereby direct all necessary California and U.S. Department agencies to take whatever steps necessary to protect the life and well-being and provide whatever emergency assistance necessary, which includes shelter space and transportation.
Mm-hmm.
A continued streamlined solution of outreach, engagement, and placement, OEP, outreach, engagement, and placement, is required from nonprofits to acquire this federal funding. A request for the $150 million HUD funds is to be returned in a public COC account to fund 47 specific affordable housing and acute care centers located in Los Angeles County and its neighboring counties. While the meeting was notable for a number of city and department leaders that were present during this council, this was the state of emergency that was addressed to them. And I actually have the actual footage of the council in which I have expressed and read this particular statement. Let me see if I can pull this up right quick.
I have to read a statement. A state of emergency is requested to be declared in the county of Los Angeles effective.
Okay, well, the volume is too low. I'll actually play it in its entirety in our next broadcast because we will have a part two next Monday, November 28th, concerning housing, homeless, and the real reason that it is out of control. Now, if you're joining us today, thank you for joining us for our Power Radio. Every Sunday and Monday, we are the most informative location for news, local and international, for empowerment of our Black people every week. So I'm your co-host. I forgot my name for a second. Dr. Truth. <Truth Day. laughs> I'm your co-host with Minnesota Justice, Dr. Truth Bay. And I'm allowed. I'm getting older. And then we have our host, Sheikh Imam Akbar. Hopefully he is still on the line with also our co-host, Queen Mother Beverly and Black Lightning. And Chief of Staff. And we have our guest this day from Home Street America, Dr. Lewis.
Black Lightning and Tom will sing you a bedtime melody. No, I'm just saying. Dr. Critical Toupe, you've done a great job in explaining these things and making them plain. We're going to get right on the highway and be back in D.C. in a short period of time. But we certainly do appreciate you, your crew, and all that you do. Remember, you know what I'm saying, that Black power is a lifestyle. It's not just something that is a cliche. And we hope that you will improve your lifestyle by using Black power skillfully and effectively against the opposition as we move on from here.
Right on. Before you do so, I'd like for Mr. Hollingsworth to give us his organization information and how we can help. How's the homeless nationwide? Ms. Hollingsworth?
You can look us up at homelessfreeamerica.org.
Okay. Homelessfreeamerica.org.
All right. .org.
Okay. What's the brother's name? What's the name of the brother?
Sheikh Imam Akbar.
Brother Akbar, if there's anything that that we can do to assist you guys in your quest with you on the road back there, just let us know. Let the doctor know. Maybe send you guys a couple of dollars or something back there, man, to buy some gas or something.
Right on. Well, with that being said, if you want to help the revolution, you can always cash app 77 Bakers. That's $77 Bakers. And that goes straight to revolution. In the work that we do on the grounds, on the radio, we're here for you. So definitely thank you so much for that, Mr. Hollingsworth. We are grateful to have you, and hopefully you can come back next week and give us a part two.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
Absolutely.
Definitely part one, and we My. We put that part one up, and we'll be back in our studios next Monday for yet another episode of Black Power Radio. Again, we have the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, and some have came in tonight. I saw them using their smartphones, and one guy had a dumb phone, and the two had Android and one paranoid phone. I watched the guy on the paranoid phone, and because, I mean, you know what I'm saying, because some of them were super paranoid phones they were using. But now, whatever means you tune in, we know that Black Power Radio has the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, on your desktop, your laptop. And by whatever means you tuned in tonight, we thank you for listening. And for all that has been said, did you have something, Dr. Truffet?
Yes, we just want to. Yes, we just want to have a last minute to express the importance of knowing your governance, knowing your bureaucracy. So what I do, I want to challenge my listeners out here to really identify the homeless agency in your city. If you want to call in and join, how to hold them accountable, how to build affordable housing in your state, how to take back land, please give us a call at 1-866-548-0521. We will be happy to help you and serve you in your city and to become effective.
Again, you must give it again for the numerical
that's right,
at heart.
Right.
You must give your telephone number once more to make sure that a guy with the, yep, he had a pen in his hand and ran out of ink or something, and he's scrabbling with his pen over there. So let's give that number once more for the numerically pure at heart.
Absolutely. So if you want to join in the revolution and you don't know how, just give us a call at 1-866-548-0521. This is the direct line for Black Power. And we are thank you so much for listening. And we hope that the gems that Mr. Hollingsworth was dropping down on concerning how to take back your state for housing and really help the homeless. Please, advice is only as good as you take it. So, Black family, we thank you so much for joining us. And, again, thank you to Mr. Hollingsworth from Homeless Free America and any other organization that you know that is doing the work for feeding the homeless, housing the homeless. We want them on next week. We want to hear from them, and we want to work on collaborative ideas to really take back our democracy. And it's for the people, by the people. There you go. I'm out.
And by we the people, with all that has been said and all that we can say, we know our beloved brother and comrade brother Marvin Gaye said it best.
Love your brother.